This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
281-441-4179. 281-441-4179. Ability Tree Experts, Houston's leading tree care professionals.
And your traffic report is sponsored by Sewell Automotive. I-45, the Gulf Freeway, northbound at FM 2351. That disabled vehicle has a right shoulder blocked. Highs around 60 tomorrow. I'm Laura Reynolds, Sports Radio 610.
Don't wait for cancer care. MD Anderson Cancer Center continues to provide safe, expert, compassionate care every day. To learn more, visit findyourmdanderson.com. That's findyourmdanderson.com.
When I rally my crew to watch ball, I don't know if it's my work guys, I don't know if it's my lady, I don't know if my buddies from over in Baytown. It really doesn't matter. I just know the spot. I know the spot we're going to hit in the city, and that's Twin Peaks, baby. Wall-to-wall TVs. You can track all the games, all the action. And I tell you what, man, I don't think I probably need to tell most guys about this, but them Twin Peaks girls, the service is off the chart. And by the way, they're pretty good looking. If you hadn't been there, you got to get there pretty soon and check it out. 29-degree beer all the time in the menu. It's off the charts. Look, I've eaten there at brunch. I've eaten lunch. I've eaten midday. I've eaten dinner. Hell, I've been drunk and ate there late night. The food is always off the charts. Twin Peaks are taking peak precautions for you and their staff. They've expanded seating so you have plenty of room to stretch out as always. And look, there's 5 locations around the city. I've spent quality time with my friends. Look, there's Sean Pendergast. Him and I have been in Twin Peaks around the city multiple times, baby. All the waitresses. They're friendly, they're attentive, they're beautiful. Menu's great, beer's cold. What's not to love about Twin Peaks? Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, and scenic views.
Effortless car buying with expedited processes? West Point Lincoln will do everything in our power to get you rolling in an hour. West Point Lincoln is committed to your safety. Every vehicle is sanitized and ready to drive. West Point Lincoln will deliver your new Lincoln to your home, work, whatever is convenient for you. West Point Lincoln, the pinnacle of customer service, the definition of effortless, on the Katy Freeway at Kirkwood, and online, westpointlincoln.com.
A new year brings new challenges for students trying to find their way in life. Texas Can Academies need your help now, more than ever, to help get a kid back in school and earn their high school diploma. Please help by donating your vehicle, running or not, to carsforkids.org. You'll get free towing, a tax deduction, a $50 Visa gift card that must be requested at the time of your donation, and the satisfaction of knowing you're helping change a life. Donate online at carsforkids.org, and remember, write off the car, not the kid.
For the ones who know that a little late is always too late, and that the clock doesn't stop just because you're missing a part, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. And our KeepStock inventory management solutions help ensure you have the right stuff in the right place at exactly the right time. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock to learn more. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. And when you partner with a Dell Technologies advisor, you get real-time tailored advice. They'll even give you a free consultation on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, get special financing with Dell Business Credit and big savings on business computers with Intel Core processors. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
The Search Special.
It is the Search Special on a Tuesday night. Great to be with all of you. I'm Sean Pendergast alongside Brandon Scott on what is a pretty momentous day. I think this is a day where a lot of positive things happening if you're a Houston Texan fan. And Brandon Scott, the coaching search itself we're going to get into. I thought for sure late this morning when the news came down that the Texans had put in a request to interview Eric Bieniemy, I'm like, well, now I know what the dominant topic's going to be.
Right. Yeah, it felt like we knew what the show was going to be about, right?
I felt like it was all laying out for us. We got our usual topics, some Deshaun Watson stuff, you know, a little of the drama mixed in. We were the candidates. We interviewed Glover Quinn today on Payne and Pendergast.
Really
Jim
good stuff.
Caldwell. Thank
really
you.
Good stuff. Check that out on the podcast, on the Payne and Pendergast podcast, sportsradio610.com.
Yeah, but then that was I saw the Eric Bieniemy thing earlier that the Texans have put in a request to interview him. I'm like, well, that's good news. It feels like maybe Deshaun Watson, his voice is being heard. One of two things, either Deshaun Watson's voice is being heard or Nick Caserio is taking control of this situation, or both. Could be both.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And then Andre Johnson happened. At lunchtime today. And if you're just tuning in or you're just getting into your car, I think this is going to be the dominant topic. And I would say this, 713-572-4610. Because it feels like the momentum is beginning to build here. And as we've all gone through the last several days, at a time where we should be experiencing hope and joy as fans, hiring a new general manager, hiring a new head coach, these should be exciting times. As a fan of the team, as media covering the team, as a city that wants to be behind this football team. And it's been anything but that, because the process has been hijacked, because the process has been clunky, and because the specter of Jack Easterby hangs over NRG Stadium, and it has for the last 18 months. And as I was pondering today, thinking, boy, the only way that this thing is going to get better, I'm not breaking any news here. Like, we could sit here and go, hashtag fire Easterby, you need to fire Easterby. I don't know that there's anybody who doesn't think you need to fire Jack Easterby at this point, so that's not a unique take. I was thinking, though, what could force the issue? Clearly, Cal McNair is enamored with Jack Easterby, and in my mind, it's going to take somebody who has more power than Jack Easterby, and I thought to myself, the only people that really fit that bill, other than Cal McNair, that could force the issue would either be Nick Caserio or Deshaun Watson. Maybe J.J. Watt, but I think where J.J.'s at in his career, I think that's even questionable. And then, Brandon, off the top rope comes Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
The hero that I hadn't even thought of.
Yeah, but the one you needed.
Andre Johnson on Twitter today. And let me tell you this before I read this tweet. The last time that Andre Johnson tweeted something other than a sponsored tweet for Crown Royal was April 24th, 2019. Tweeted something about Damian Lillard hitting a shot or something like that.
Yeah.
So Andre Johnson does not take to Twitter to express his pleasure nor displeasure with anything often at all.
Not in a subtle way, not in a subtweet, not any in a cryptic way, in no kind of way.
He's just not active on there.
At all.
And so for him to go to Twitter to say really anything that is of substance is noteworthy. This is news.
Yeah.
And in fact, you hope that this is something that builds some momentum, because Andre Johnson, by definition, his opinion should be respected in that building, because Cal McNair put him on the ad hoc committee for the head coaching and the GM search. So I would assume that his opinion is that it matters. And I hope that it matters, because this is what he tweeted. If I'm at Deshaun Watson, I will stand my ground. The Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers.
Wow.
Yeah. Since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened in or for the organization, and for some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on. Pathetic. Multiple exclamation points.
You channeled a little McClain there.
It almost looked like McClain hijacked hacked his Twitter account. I'll say this first. There were some people going, boy, do you think he was hacked? I know for a fact that he wasn't.
Yeah.
I know people that are close to him that know him really well that say that's how he feels about this situation. So he's not surprising a lot of people in terms of his feeling. I think he's probably surprising a lot of people that he went on social media with it.
And to that point, multiple reputable media has reached out like you have and have been able to confirm that that's him. So this is all over the place.
It's all over the place.
That it's really him.
Here's what I would tell the Texans, and I would say this. I would say that if the McNairs are listening, if Cal McNair were in this studio right now, I would say this to him. And I said it on Channel 2 on Sunday night, hoping that somebody would see. You've got a problem. You've got a problem right now.
Yeah.
Your problem is with your fan base. You have problems in the building over there. Walk around. Walk the floor. Talk to people over there and see how they feel over there right now. And now you've got a problem with one of the most important sports figures in the history of this city, and definitely one of the two most important players in the history of your team. And the only thing that's probably keeping the other one from speaking up is that he's still under contract to play for you right now.
Right.
And I would say this, too. If you're listening, Texans, and that is this. the former players, the alumni of your team, I host a show every day with one of them. This is indicative of how they feel about the team. They care deeply about the team. If they're angry, it's because they care. And you look at the history of this team, and I think a lot of people outside the city of Houston would ask themselves, why do they care so deeply about this team? This is a team that the furthest they've ever made it is the divisional round of the playoffs. It's not as though these alums have all sorts of great deep playoff run memories to hang their hat on with this team. They care about the team because a lot of these guys, including Andre Johnson, including Seth Payne, my co-host, helped build this team brick by brick, hit by hit, and took a beating. Took a beating on Sundays to build memories for this city. They built something here. They helped you build something here. It matters to them. It matters to Andre Johnson. It matters enough to Arian Foster, who I don't know that he cares about anything football-wise, for Arian to retweet Andre Johnson this afternoon. That's how big this is. Arian Foster, who once he was done with football, and I don't begrudge him for this, he was done with football.
Yes.
Arian's back in the mix saying, man, you got to do something about this. This is Andre Johnson, man. This is Andre Johnson saying this to you. And these guys care. And if you want them to care, you got to do something about this, man. These guys built something, and you are sacrificing the goodwill with your fan base and the goodwill with the most important people in the history of your team for some dude who has done nothing but tear the organization down since he got here. Nothing good has happened. Andre Johnson is spot on. I'll read it again. Since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened in or for the organization. Bingo. These guys took a pounding physically for years. Andre Johnson for over a decade for your team. And you're shoving these guys aside for this, for some charlatan who's never taken a hit in his life and for who every move that's happened since he walked into the building has sent this team on a downward spiral backwards. Deshaun Watson is angry with the organization right now. How does Deshaun Watson, and Brandon, you covered Deshaun, you're on his Zoom calls every week. You ask the best questions on these calls. So you know, there is no more professional, patient athlete in this city that I've covered than Deshaun Watson. And you've got Deshaun Watson in a spot where he's having to put smoke out there through second parties and intermediaries. And now you've got Andre Johnson tweeting when the dude hasn't touched a keyboard for anything other than a Crown Royal spot in 2 years.
Look, I want to point out something real quick. That
I'm hot, man.
Look, our colleague John Lopez, since all of this came out, had a really good tweet about this. And I think we would agree with this. And the fans would, too. Text in 713-572-4610. You alienate Deshaun, you lose the locker room. You alienate Andre Johnson, you lose everyone who ever played for the organization.
Yes.
And that includes guys like Arian Foster that doesn't want anything to do with your organization right. To begin with.
Right.
We're talking about Arian Foster, who's a guy who doesn't really care what's going on in football, but he cares about his former teammates. He cares about his friends. And so when he sees something that's going on, and he's never even heard of Jack Easterby, he doesn't even know what we're talking about. But he says, and we can't use his exact language, but he says, Something's not right. Something's got to be wrong. If Andre Johnson, of all people, the most mild-mannered, the quiet sort of silent assassin, like we've seen Andre Johnson when he gets upset, but we don't see it very often, and we certainly don't hear about it. Like you mentioned, we don't see it on Twitter. He's not a guy that speaks out or is very vocal about anything. If he's vocal about this, there's got to be something wrong, and that tells you something else. With Andre Johnson, this guy's in the locker room. This guy still has relationships on the team.
He was on the staff last year.
He was just on the staff in 2019.
He knows. This isn't somebody shouting from a mountain somewhere watching on Twitter like the rest of us. He was in the building on the staff
right
when Jack Easterby was there.
Which stands to reason that he's got a feel for Jack Easterby and the players and how it all mixes.
Yeah,
and so this is an informed voice, not just a relevant voice, but an informed voice telling everyone something, and more specifically telling Cal McNair something. Hey, We're trying to show you the light that you're going to lose everything else that's important to you behind someone who, quite frankly, is not even good at what they do. If anything, he's not just decidedly average, but he's going backwards. He's decidedly below average.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon, I'd love to come up with some analysis for this tweet. Like, I would have loved to have come into the show today and say, hey, this is what this means. Do I even really need to explain? Am I explaining this to anybody that doesn't already know what the solution needs to be for this? The solution for this whole thing is easy. You got Andre Johnson talking out about this thing. Now, you got former players galore backing him up on Twitter, either ones that know what's going on or ones like Arian Foster and others who just say, man, if Andre's saying it, then something's got to be wrong over there, because this guy is one of the calmest, coolest cats on the planet. And so, like, what needs to, we all know what needs to happen over there. I'm in here today to express my emotion over this thing because I'm just as tired as everybody else. This is a team that I love, man. I root for this team on Sundays. I'm as emotionally invested as anybody is in this team. And, man, to watch it just be systematically just sort of dismantled, or just watch it completely smolder from within because of one guy, is just inexcusable and unacceptable to me.
Well, one thing that's really frustrating to me, and I'm like you, Sean, and I've been following it since day one, but one thing that's really frustrating and perplexing about all of it is, how is it that you've been able to finally get the hard part right?
Yeah.
The hard part is finding a Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Quite frankly, the hard part is scoring on a J.J. Watt or an Andre Johnson. Finding great players like that is hard. There are not many of them.
It's the hardest.
It's
to find
the
Deshaun
hardest
Watson.
Part is to build your team around cornerstone franchise players, and to a man, they're all upset in about one thing. It ain't hard to find a Jack Easterby or find a guy that can put together schedules for workouts and work the cafeteria and do medical.
It's not hard to find somebody who's good at that job.
Right.
It's really easy to find somebody who's bad at that job.
Yeah.
They found one.
They could literally hire anybody on the streets of Houston, the fourth largest city in America.
Yeah.
They could go out in any part, north, south, east, west of the city, and find somebody that'll do a job similar to Jack Easterby's, which is insufficient.
Yeah. Here's what Seth retweeted Andre, and he said, "Thank you, Andre." People, let me read Andre's tweet one more time. He said, "If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'll stand my ground." I think Arian would stand his ground too. "The Texans organization is known for wasting playoff careers." Boy, we could do an hour just on that sentence alone coming from Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
"Since Jack Easterby walked into the building, nothing good's happened for the organization, and for some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on. Pathetic." Seth retweeted it and said, "Thank you, Andre. People need to understand that this is not some media creation. Jack Easterby is a divisive force. He is the opposite of what he fools people into believing he is." And I said this earlier, and I believe it now, and we can continue to talk about this. And if you want to get in, 713-572-4610. If Jack Easterby is who he claims he is, he would resign from this job.
Yeah.
He would resign from this job. Can you even tell me that Nick Caserio, your good friend, can do his job to the best of his ability with you in the building? Are you telling me that the players, who none of them trust you, can do their job to the complete maximum effectiveness that they can do with you in the building? People can't do their jobs effectively with you in the building.
Andre Johnson's tweet stands out because he's speaking from experience. He's not speculating.
Yeah.
You know, he's not guessing or just, you know, throwing something at the wall to see if it sticks. So that's another reason why it sticks out. From the part about wasting careers, speaking from experience, all the way into the end to where he's talking about Jack Easterby, speaking from experience from being here and still knowing the players. Like, it's hard to avoid.
That's a really good point. You've made it a couple times in this open, but we can't stress that enough. This is not just some disgruntled franchise icon. This is somebody who knows. He's got a better view than any former player has on this whole thing.
And then your other point about Jack Easterby resigning. The quality of Jack Easterby that we keep hearing about, because we don't hear about a real specific one that we can wrap our minds around.
I know the word you're going to use.
Serve.
Serve, yep.
Serve, right? Well, Jack Easterby, the one thing that we feel like Jack Easterby can do based off of what all of his friends and people close to him and that he works for have told us is serve.
Yep.
Who is he serving right now?
Himself.
And who would he be? Would he actually be serving the greater good and the larger cause if he went and did the
right
thing?
Come on, you know the answer to
that.
Come on.
If you are a true servant, the way that you have characterized it, and serve, I've said this before, is a biblical term, or it's a church term that they're using, really. Well, do the right thing.
Yep.
Serve.
Folks want to get in on this. Phone lines are jammed. 713-572-4610. Sean Pendergast alongside Brandon Scott. We'll get to your phone calls. We want to hear from you, Houston, on this tonight. This is a search special dedicated to Andre Johnson with Sean Pendergast and Brandon Scott. Stay there.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Search Special.
It is the Search Special. Sports Radio 610, Sean Pendergast alongside Brandon Scott with you. 713-572-4610. You can text that number as well. We're going to hit the phones here in just a second. Before we do, we were able to, if you missed Andre Johnson's tweet about Jack Easterby and about how nothing good has happened in the Texans organization since he walked in the door, we actually have the play-by-play of Andre Johnson tweeting about Jack Easterby. It's right here.
Derek Ward in the game, the lone back, shot under center, third and eight at the 41 of Tennessee. Handoff Ward, flagged down, running right, and brought down across the 35-yard line. And now Andre Johnson and
Easterby
are going at it. Helmet comes off of
Easterby,
and Andre Johnson's ejected. Andre Johnson lost his cool with
Easterby.
And you know,
Easterby
is just trying to get Andre Johnson upset. Jeff Fisher at midfield with
Easterby
trying to keep him out of it. And this thing is not even broken up officially yet.
No, it's not broken up officially yet. This is going to be going on for quite some time.
Yeah.
What do you think happens here? I know we're going to hit the phones here. Do you think this moves the needle at all over there?
Yeah. I mean, once Easterby recovers from that fake concussion that we just had
Andre
Johnson give to him. You know what? Honestly, the hope is that when Cal McNair asked for advice, when he solicited the advice of all of these, people from around the sports world,
sure,
including Andre Johnson.
Right.
And it seems like some of those people he has taken advice from. Like, you look at some of the head coaching candidates, you're like, well,
it seems like
maybe he's listening to Tony Dungy.
Sure.
So how much did he really want that advice and how much does he really value it? And will he listen to Andre Johnson, and up until what point? You know, like, and it seems like he's heard already from other places that, hey, this Jack Easterby thing, you might want to be out on that.
Yeah.
It's not the first time that he's heard, hey, you might want to get rid of Jack Easterby. So I am curious on how much Andre Johnson moves the meter for Cal McNair versus the way he does for the rest of us. Because this resonates for us.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
For Texans fans, for Houstonians, for football fans all across the country. So if it resonates for everybody else, I'm curious how much does it resonate with Cal McNair? Is he tone deaf to the point to where he doesn't even understand the value, not just of Andre Johnson's opinion, but his willingness to voice it in a situation where he never really does that?
All right, it's the Search Special. The only real news on the coaching front, the Texans put in a request for Eric Bieniemy. Brandon and I will get into what that all means after the bottom of the hour, but a lot of you want to get in and talk about what's going on. So let's get to the phones and let's start it off with Jim. Jim, you're up on the Search Special. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
Pretty good, Jim. Not as good as you.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound nearly as good as you, but go ahead, man.
Well, we're doing good. Shawnee, the Cavalier Nation, big fan of yours.
Five-time
Smack-Off winner.
Yep.
And I just want to say that I'm going to make this as brief as I can. 2 points. Point number one, Jack Easterby is the spawn of hell. And I'll tell you why. When you use your religion, you use your God speak and everything else to manipulate your way into a certain position, you are a total evil spawn of hell anywhere that we've ever known. Point number two. Oh, Nick Satan bringing Bill O'Brien as his offense coordinator. It's a perfect fit. Perfect fit.
Yeah, Jim, we appreciate the phone call. That's the other part of the Search Special that we should mention as sort of a deleted scene, is that Bill O'Brien is going to be the OC.
Right, as an aside.
At Alabama. Yeah, we appreciate the phone call, Jim. I want to get through as many of you as we can here, so let's go to Zach. Zach, you're next up on the Search Special with Sean Pendergast and Brandon Scott. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for, you know, taking my call.
Sure.
I just kind of wanted to chime in here and let you know that, you know, as we all are, we're super stunned, you know, with Andre, you know, putting out this tweet. But, you know, I really think that, you know, a man who's dedicated his blood, sweat, and tears to this organization, not only as a player, but as a member of the coaching staff, and him being someone who's, you know, been the most humble guy on and off the football field, I think for him to throw in the towel from his position on the coaching staff, that alone speaks volumes. And I think that this really, this whole debacle with Deshaun is something that's really resonated with, you know, AJ, just because it happened to him. He doesn't want it to happen to Deshaun.
Yep.
He wasted 10 years of his whole career. He could have left, and he didn't have to. He chose to stay here for the city of Houston, and he sees that passion that Deshaun Watson also has, you know, for the city, for the organization. And Cal McNair has allowed basically this Grima worm tongue to just kind of come up in his ear and just sweet talk him to death. But now we're at this point where, you know, he has his buddy Nick Caserio in thinking that, hey, this is the guy who's going to protect me in my job. And now I think we're really at a true turning point where, you know, Nick Caserio might have to be the one to dish away Jack Easterby, his best friend. And I don't know if he has the guts to do it. So it's really a hardball situation for the Texans. And I'm just curious, you know, how it plays out as well as y'all saw it.
All right, thanks. Yeah, appreciate it, Zach. That's an interesting one. I was thinking about that today. I'm like, you know, Nick Caserio, by the letter of the org chart that has been outlined to us, which has always been told to us by Cal McNair, that Nick Caserio will determine what Jack Easterby's role is.
Yep.
It feels like by definition of that, if Nick Caserio determines that there is no role for Jack Easterby, or that if he has any role in the organization, we can't do our jobs to the best of our ability, then I would assume that Nick Caserio can make that decision on Jack Easterby. You were shaking your head when Zach was saying it.
Yeah, because Cal McNair can empower Nick Caserio to make that decision, but, I mean, come on, we're not blind. We see what happened here. Like, Nick Caserio's hired. Nick Caserio's employment with the organization at this point seems to rely on his relationship with Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby got him this job. In some ways, and I know it's not what the org chart says, but in some ways, if we are all reading between the lines and even reading, like, just straight up words, Jack Easterby's his boss.
Yeah, I don't know. Cal has been infatuated with Nick Caserio before Jack Easterby came into the building there.
But that's the issue. He was infatuated with Nick Caserio, but he went another direction and then changed, did an about face of his own.
You're talking about on this search. Yeah.
You know, so something changed and then something changed back. And so, and then when you consider this pull that Easterby appears to have on Cal McNair, it's not clear that Nick Caserio can actually fire Jack Easterby.
All right, let's go to Rick on the search special. Rick, you are up. Good evening.
Yes. Well, my take is I'm a retired minister, and I can tell you there's a lot of ministers that I know personally that think they're on a divine mission to set up a culture. And I can tell you that Cal and Easterby and Caserio are going to dig in on this, because what's happened, what I believe that Deshaun's upset with, and Andre's upset with, they're going to make a stand even against the players. The only thing that would turn this is season ticket holders abandoning the Texans. And this is why, because they are all aligned. If you go back and listen to the presser with Caserio and think about three things, the culture, Deshaun Watson and Easterby, and re-listen to that presser, mm-hmm. you will hear that they are aligned on this one thing. We're going to build this culture. That's what Easterby has sold to Cal, and he's aligned with Nick on it. And the three of these guys believe they're right, and they believe that this is what's best for the Texans. And I don't care if JJ and all of us storm the building, they feel like they're doing the right thing. And here's what the problem is they feel the culture that Easterby is promoting is above the Super Bowl. It's above winning. I've seen this so many times. It's all about your culture, your mandate. And this is how it comes across to Deshaun Watson. It comes across like this. I'd rather have David Johnson in my building than DeAndre Hopkins. I'd rather have Whitney Merciless in my building than Jadeveon Clowney. I'd rather have Eric Murray in my building than Tyrann Mathieu. That's how it comes across the players. It's confusing because they're trying to win a Super Bowl, and the organization is trying to build a culture, and they clash. And it's not going to work, because what they need is leadership. A culture flows from leadership that can lead them to the Super Bowl. And so the players are seeing it, and they've known about this. And I really believe that I saw this when they let go of Dwayne Brown, and I'm thinking, what are the Mariners thinking? Well, what it is they want to build this first-class organization culture. And what it's costing the fans is going to be, and the players, is a chance to win a championship here in Houston.
Yeah.
And so they're going to dig in because they have a righteous cause.
Interesting. Rick, that's a really good phone call.
Very good.
Pretty
call.
Daunting phone call if you're a Texan. Yeah. Makes a lot of good points.
He does, Rick. I love your phone call. Now, I'm not out here encouraging people to pull their money. I do think that, you know, a bottom line business, that is kind of how you speak to people. I'm not encouraging that. But Rick said something that I do want to highlight. Going back to the press conference, like if you listen back to the press, well,
which press conference are you talking about?
The Nick Caserio and Cal McNair press conference. Okay. We were in on that. You know, we were in on that Zoom call. There was one thing that stood out or that stands out now, thinking back on it,
mm-hmm.
especially listening to Rick. One thing that Nick Caserio talked about was, and this was I want to say maybe even in reference to the situation with Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. team before I,
yeah.
Basically, the team, the organization over the individual.
Yeah.
Well, that seemed to be in the context of a player and or players and talking to individual players about their situation. It applies to Jack Easterby as well.
Yeah.
Because if it's team before one individual, well, the team has spoken both past team in past tense and in present tense.
Yep.
You got players on the team now, players that have been on the team before have spoken on the matter, have spoken on the issue. Your organization has spoken. So is it team over an individual or is it not?
Really good point. All right, 713-572-4610. Eric Bieniemy gets a request from the Texans for an interview. What does that all mean? We'll dig into that. We'll take some more of your phone calls as well if you want to get in. It's the Search Special. Sean Pendergast, Brandon Scott with you on a Tuesday night. Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents the Search Special.
Sean Pendergast, Brandon Scott taking you to the top of the hour here on the Search Special on Tuesday night. We'll get back to the phones in just a minute. The big news of the day, Andre Johnson weighing in on the Jack Easterby situation, basically telling the Texans they need to do something about this guy. And several players retweeting. And in fact, SportsCenter put the tweet up on Instagram. And we should mention that my sons, Sammy and James, who they keep me apprised of what all the players are doing on the gram, Brandon.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the young people are for.
That's what they're there for. Yeah, that's why I pay all that tuition money, so they can tell me what's going on the gram.
Money well spent, my man.
As you can imagine, there's a lot of Texans, both former and current, that are liking Andre Johnson's sentiments on Instagram. The former players, at least the ones on here. I know this is just me talking. I know Owen Daniels retweeted it earlier. DeAndre Hopkins retweeted it earlier.
Yep.
They retweeted it with commentary, basically saying, hey, man, when this dude speaks, listen up, talking about Andre Johnson.
Right.
DJ Reader liked it. Dwayne Brown liked it.
Yep.
Current players, Justin Reed and Jordan Akins weighing in, both liking what Andre Johnson had to say about the Easterby situation.
Not just guys on your team, but pretty, you know, of the few good players on the team. They're plus players, I would
say. And Justin Reed is a respected player in that locker room, and I think he's respected by Texans higher-ups in the building over there, too. And, I mean, I think Justin Reed is viewed as a guy that they want to keep around for more than his rookie contract. Yeah. When you have Justin Reed liking something like this Easterby thing, this is going to start to impact you. This is where I say, Brandon, that it's going to affect Nick Caserio's ability to do his job.
Yeah.
Because if you have something that you have created in the building that inherently is deterring players from either staying or coming to your organization, you would get rid of that thing, would you not? If there was anything, whether it was a person or an aspect of the, if there was a part of the building that people walked in and said, you know what, I really wish you didn't have this, or I wish you had one of these, you would either remove or go get whatever it is they wanted removed or gotten in there.
And the only way to keep it is if it produces some kind of value for you.
Correct.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
It has to be valuable. There has to be a tangible benefit from whatever it is. And then you go from there.
Right.
There's not that with this. It's been asked and answered.
I'm glad you said that. They've had plenty of chances to tell us what he does.
Yes. We asked him.
We've asked a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And the answer always is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Serving.
Okay, what specific skills? Vanessa Richardson asked that the other day from Channel 2. What specific skills does he have that make him worth all the trouble? Well, let me tell you, he's very talented. Mm. What's he talented at? He's talented at being talented. You know, like that's kind of what they're saying, right? Like this.
When I asked Cal McNair, why'd you name Jack Easterby the interim GM and why should you keep him now with considering the situation that's going on in the locker room? He didn't address the keep him now part, but why did he name Jack Easterby in that role? Somebody had to do it. That was basically, do you remember?
Yeah,
that was basically his response.
I do.
Well, you can't. And I'm not going to accuse him of talking down to me, but it was basically, well, somebody's got to be the GM. It's hard to operate without a GM, without mentioning, by the way, that in 2019 they did exactly that.
Right, right.
And maybe he's speaking from experience.
Right, right,
but
right.
That was his response. Yeah. Somebody had to. What is that?
Why didn't you name the guy that actually got an interview for the GM job, Matt Bazergan, as the interim GM?
Right. Yeah. And is it an omission on your part that since this guy's been in the building the entire time, right, that the solution to your issues was here all along?
Right.
That's a problem.
All right. Let's go to the phone. 713-572-46. And by the way, Eric Bieniemy, that's the news. Actually, before we get to the phones, real quick, just quick thoughts on Eric Bieniemy getting his interview opera. Well, getting the request for the interview. I know that there's a little bit of hair on this whole thing because now it looks like they may have missed the window, and so they may have to wait till the Chiefs are knocked out of the postseason, if I'm right about that.
Yeah, and that's the part of it that concerns me. You know, like the idea of interviewing Eric Bieniemy, I think everybody is in favor of, even if you don't like Eric Bieniemy or if you're not fond of Eric Bieniemy as a head coaching candidate, if you understand that to be part of the issue with Deshaun Watson and his discontent, then that reason alone is enough for you to support the decision to interview him. Mm-hmm. So I think all of us, especially those of us who want good things to happen and want Deshaun Watson to get back to being happy or get back to some kind of happy place, we're like, yeah, yeah, do that.
Yes.
But the issue is you could have done this a long time ago.
Right.
And you should have done this a long time ago. And now, since there's this period where you're not going to be able to interview him because he's more than likely going to still be in the postseason, there's an opportunity here for him to decide on another job and for you to decide on another candidate to where this could never even materialize. Yeah. So it feels a little bit hollow for me.
It does. All right, 713-572-4610 to Greg we go. Greg, you're up on the search special. Good evening.
Hey, guys. I want to ask y'all guys a question. But before I do, I want to make position clear on Jack Easterby. He's clearly the skid mark from the turd that was Bill O'Brien's coaching reign with the Texans, and he's got to go.
That's graphic.
I do want to ask you this, though, and it's a serious question. What do you think that Andre Johnson meant when he said that Deshaun should stick to his guns or stand his ground? What do you think he meant?
Very good question.
Yeah.
I've been trying to decide that myself.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm taking it at face value, that he should dig in until he gets whatever it is he's wanting from the organization. You know, that because the very next sentence talks about the Texans wasting players' careers, and those two sentences next to each other would lead me to believe that it's, you know, wait until you get what you want, whether it's the head coach that you want, whether it's the authority, the respect that you want in the building there. Are you with me on that, Brandon? Is there a greater meaning to it, do you think?
Yeah, so I'm with you for the most part on that. It's hard to know exactly. I think that is the question, like, which is it? Is it contract, you know, not contract, I'm sorry, but requesting a trade?
Yeah.
Is it something like that? But to me, what seems to be clear about it is it seems like Andre Johnson is in a lot of ways speaking for Deshaun Watson and the folks in that locker room and their discontent with Jack Easterby.
Yeah.
Prefaces it with Deshaun Watson should stand his ground, and then basically the tweet as a whole is really about Jack Easterby. So to me, it is a message through Andre Johnson saying Deshaun Watson, your leader, is among the folks in your locker room who has taken note that Jack Easterby is toxic for this environment.
He's the only one that can really speak up in that locker room without there being ramifications, really. Yeah. I mean, maybe Laremy Tunsil could.
Yeah.
JJ.
Yeah. He wouldn't, I don't think.
Who's that?
Laremy Tunsil.
No, I don't think he would either. Right. I don't think, like, Deshaun is the, and look, I mean, no disrespect to Laremy Tunsil. Deshaun's the face of the organization. Laremy Tunsil's right. Just a good football player. Deshaun Watson is an icon in the building over there, and he's one of the brightest young players in the league. Deshaun Watson can speak up about anything he wants to, and there's going to be no ramifications for him. What are the ramifications for Deshaun Watson? He gets traded. He's got a no trade clause. And by the way, the word is that he might want to be traded.
Right.
You know.
Right. And so, having a no trade clause means that if he does get traded, he gets to go exactly
where
he wants to go.
Yeah.
The short answer to that question, though, what did he mean? I think what he meant was on stand your ground is stand his ground on wanting Jack Easterby to be the hell up out of here.
I hope that's what he means.
It feels like it.
You know, like Deshaun's standing ground on other things. I think it's great if Deshaun stands his ground on just getting respect from the organization or getting what he wanted in terms of head coach. I think that's fine, too.
Well, and mind you, this Eric Bieniemy thing that we just mentioned,
yeah,
that they've kind of missed the mark on that. They had their opportunity. They might not get it again. So the only thing that's really left beyond You know, they've already hired the GM, so they can't go back in time and make him a part of that decision.
That's right.
So they might not be able to interview the head coach that he wanted, and they obviously can't go back in time and let him be involved in the GM hire. The only thing that they could do that relates to Deshaun Watson standing his ground and the issues that he has with the organization right now is get Jack Easterby out of there.
This is Andre Johnson's tweet one more time. If you're just getting in your car, you're just listening, Andre Johnson tweeting his thoughts on Jack Easterby. Very pointed, very emotional, very direct thoughts. He says, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I will stand my ground. The Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers. Since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened in or for the organization, and for some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on. Pathetic. Brandon's pointed this out a couple times. This is not Andre Johnson just being a franchise icon saying this. Andre Johnson, it needs to be pointed out, is somebody who was on the coaching staff last year and has been in the building and has seen up close the effect that Easterby has with players and on the team, his presence hanging over that team has on players. And it echoes some of the things that I've been hearing from plenty of people. I mean, look, read the Sports Illustrated. All I'll say, read the Sports Illustrated article. It's accurate. It's accurate. The Greg Bishop, Jenny Vrintas article. It's accurate.
Yeah, I mean, it's spot on. And it's accurate and it's consistent, not just for the time in which it came out, but the way that these guys feel and have expressed themselves ever since.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's on brand, if you would.
Yep.
You know, now, one of the small things I'll point out real quick about the Andre Johnson tweet, I don't think we've ever heard him admit out loud that the Texans wasted his career, because he kind of just said that.
Oh, no, I've got about three segments on that sentence for tomorrow. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there.
Right? Tune in to Payne and Pendergast tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
6 a.m. Thanks, B. Scott. I appreciate
no
that.
No doubt. I'm here for you.
Honestly, between that and J.J. running up to Deshaun at the end of the Tennessee game in Week 17 saying, man, I wasted a year of your career. These are two guys. These are the two greatest players in the history of this franchise. They don't want to see happen to Deshaun Watson what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know, and yet they still love this franchise.
Yeah.
I'll point that out again. Like the former players, I'm not just talking about icons like Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt. I talk to a lot of former players.
Yeah.
Ones that we would know from around here, the obvious ones, the ones that host on this station. But then there's a lot of them that I keep in touch with through covering the team through the years, who I remain friendly with.
Right.
And a lot of them don't live in town. And they text me and call me and they say, what in the hell is going on there with the team that I played for, with the team that I love? These guys love this team, and this is not a team where they won four Super Bowls and they're coming. They love this team, and they sweated, and they bled for this team. And to watch some guy come in who has no history with the team, who has an alternative agenda, whose agenda is for himself, and to watch him do things that tear this team down, to watch this team swirl into the drain since he got here, the players are fed up with it. And I think the same way Andre is encouraging Deshaun to speak for the players in that locker room, Andre is speaking for the players. Andre speaks for the former. Deshaun is standing up for the current.
And a lot of those former players that you talk to, most of them, and even Seth Payne, obviously, the one that you spend 4 hours a day with.
I talk to him a lot,
right? They have experienced what I'm sure they hoped, and certainly Texans fans have hoped, would have been the worst of the Texans' days.
Right.
You know, and the first time that they were good, Wade Smith, right? There's a guy who was on the best Texans teams ever, right?
Yeah.
He's experienced the pinnacle of the Texans' experience. Once Deshaun Watson was drafted and once we came to understand and realize, yes, the
guy.
What we saw in Clemson, that is real. That translates, I should say, to the NFL.
Right.
This is legit.
Right.
And we saw that very early on in his rookie year before he got hurt, right? Ever since then, no one, not a fan, not a former player, not a media member, thought that they would go backwards in such a drastic way.
Not like this. Yeah.
You never thought in a million years that with Deshaun Watson, the Texans could finish 4-12. And even if that was just a blip on the radar, all of this other stuff around it is inexcusable.
Inexcusable. Yep. Johnny is up on the Search special. Johnny, good evening.
Hey, guys. Hey, that caller that called in earlier, Rick, was spot on. It does seem like Cal and Easterby, they feel like they have an agenda and they feel like they're doing the right things. I think the problem, I mean, huge problem is the fans, you guys, everybody else, media, we want a winning football team. And I don't think that is their priority. Their priority is, as you guys were saying, build culture, let guys go that are very talented and bring in someone like David Johnson, for instance. All you hear is, I mean, he's a great guy. You hate to say anything bad about him. but he's not a great running back. So they would rather bring in a great guy instead of a great player. And, you know, I know, Sean, that you've been with Seth in the morning. He's talked about that over and over. If he ran a football team, he would look for a football player first. And then, you know, if the guy's got some rough edges, you might try to work on it. But it's a football team. And the media the other day did a great job interviewing Cal and Nick Caserio. And when I think the guy's name was Brian T, kind of really put Cal in his spot, like people are calling for you to sell the team. He didn't answer a single thing. The dude starts talking about an ice bucket challenge. I mean, I played it for my wife because it's like there's something wrong there. There's a disconnect. He doesn't get it. I don't want to say anything bad about the man. He just doesn't need to be a football owner. And that's it, man. It's just very aggravating. He doesn't want the same things the fans want.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call, Johnny. Yeah, I mean, I would say it again if he were listening. I would say you got a problem.
Yeah.
You got a problem in your fan base right now.
Yeah, that's another really good phone call. And he was respectful. You know, at the end there, he says, I don't want to speak ill to the man.
Yeah.
But he's clearly
holding in a sneeze. You can tell. But he did. He
clearly frustrated, though, right?
Yeah. All right, we're heading towards the top of the hour. We'll try to get as many of you in as we can. Jay, you're up next on the Search Special. What's going on?
Man, how y'all doing?
Not too bad.
We hang in there, man.
Don't hang up on me. Now I gotta say this. Now Deshaun, he talked about the culture. You know, he talked about him changing the culture, and he goes to Cabo. You know what I'm saying? Like, you signed a $100 million contract. Your first thing should have been, I'm not signing until Jack Easterby is fired. Yeah. Like, a lot of people, y'all blaming this all on the organization. It's no leaders in their Texas locker room whatsoever. If there was leaders in their locker room, things would be different. You can't blame this on the organization. All this is not to be blamed. Jack Easterby came here in 2019, and you mean tell me this one man, the whole wheels came off because of this one man? No. It's responsibilities. They have to take responsibility for themselves. The Sun went to Cabo a day after a 4-12 season. You don't do that. You don't go to Cabo. You stay for the GM search. You stay for the head coaching search. You know, you don't do that. That's something you don't do, and they're not taking responsibilities. And Andre Johnson, the Texans went over here for him, and he disrespected the whole franchise with that one tweet. He disrespected the whole Texas franchise. No one is holding these players responsible. Deshaun could have easily stopped this before he signed that $100 million contract. All he had to do was tell McNair, Cal, that I'm not signing until Easterby is gone.
Okay, Jay, let me jump in because we're up against it. We're up against the top of the hour. I think it's an interesting point. You know, Deshaun, there are people saying that, like, nobody forced you to sign the contract for $156 million. I do think it's possible that the situation with Easterby may have devolved over time, and that once O'Brien is out of the building,
yes,
that's a big variable that's been removed from the situation.
Yeah, I think one thing our caller's missing there is that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby were still a tandem when he signed that money. And first of all, let's just reject this idea that someone is at blame for signing a contract that pays them over $100 million.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just absurd. I would not tell you guys publicly on the radio all the different things that I would do for and all the compromises that I would make for $100+ million.
Right, right.
So let's just not even play that game. But I hear where he's coming from, but I think he's forgetting that Bill O'Brien was still a part of the organization, and once he left, Bill O'Brien was the most powerful person in the organization other than Cal McNair.
Yeah.
After he left, that became Jack Easterby.
Right.
And so things then got worse. And what was going to happen? You know, so is he's going to fire Jack Easterby and Deshaun Watson is not going to sign for that money?
Yeah.
He's not going to get the offer that's in front of him? That was never in play.
Well, I think, too, the only other thing I'd point out, and then we got to get out here at the top of the hour. The only other thing I would point out is that I don't think when Deshaun Watson signed that contract, he had any inkling that this was a team that was about to go 4-12 and become one of the worst teams in football.
No, he was talking about being legendary.
Yeah, I mean, losing adds to it. And when you look at the reasons that they lost, and especially if you're Deshaun Watson, you look around and you go, I'm not the reason we went 4-12.
Yeah.
The problem is the reason we went 4-12, dude's fingerprints are all over this. That bald dude right over there.
Yeah.
The one leading the Bible study. He right. is the one whose fingerprints are all over this roster right now. How do I feel this is going to get better if that guy's still here?
Yeah, and there's blame to go around. I mean, if we want to name him, there's Jack Easterby, there's Bill O'Brien. Obviously, we've named Cal McNair himself a few times.
Sure.
We could look at the scouting department. How did these players become the players that you guys sought after?
Yep.
You know, there's enough blame to go around. The person who's not the problem, and I will say, I cannot stress this enough, the one who is not the problem with this franchise is Deshaun Watson.
That's right. Okay. All right, we close it out. That is it. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We're going to keep doing this 6 p.m. every weeknight until the Texans find their next head coach. Not a lot of head coach talk tonight, but that's because Andre Johnson happened. We'll have it all for you tomorrow, 6 a.m. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne tomorrow morning, Payne and Pendergast. B. Scott, I enjoyed this. I always enjoy getting to chop it up with you on the radio.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure.
All right, good stuff. That's Brandon Scott. I'm Sean Pendergast. This was The Search Special. We'll see you all tomorrow. 6 a.m. for Payne and Pendergast. Have a great night, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.